Now I scrolled all the way up to the top of the dock, and Damon is smiling at me. It makes me feel better. So, with
What a
that.
classic Damon. Yeah.
Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth.
Okay, so welcome to Vampire Hype. Yay! My name is Selena. Do you remember me? I missed you all. I'm so glad to be back. I have with me today Kristen, and who is that? It's Sonya!
Yay.
Hi.
Yay, it's so good. We're so happy to be back finally. There's been quite a few scheduling issues for all of us, and lots of realized life stuff is happening. But of course, this is all about the Vampire Diaries and the originals, not about us. But yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to start talking about it. Neither myself or Sonya have actually been on for this season at all, so we haven't been able to share any of our thoughts, so that should be fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and Kristen, you have you've been there. So of course, as you all know who are listening, Vampire Hype is a podcast from hypeable.com. And of course, before we get into the discussion, we just want to remind you all that you can and should be contacting us. It's a new season, both Vampire Diaries and the originals, and we want to hear what all of you think. And you can either do that on hypeable.com, or you can email us at vampirehype@gmail.com, or tweet us at vampirehype. All right, I still remember it. That is good. We're going to start by discussing the Vampire Diaries and then move on to the originals. If you want to skip the Vampire Diaries discussion and head straight for the originals discussion, go to hypeable.com and check out the time code in the podcast post. And otherwise, you know what? Just listen to the whole thing. I promise it'll be interesting. So unless there's anything else that you guys want to say, I think we should get started with the Vampire Diaries.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks.
Do you need our approval to move forward,
I think so.
Selena?
I do. I need support here. I need affirmation that I'm still okay. Okay.
You're okay, Selena.
Oh,
Good
thank you.
job.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Okay, so this episode of The Vampire Diaries was the third episode of season three, titled Original Sin, which, can I just say, how confusing is that when you have the originals at the same time? Like, what
I
is
know.
happening?
They should outlaw the word original from the Vampire Diaries vocabulary. Just
Yeah,
no.
the next episode of the originals is actually going to be called The Diaries. So, just so you're prepared. No,
Night's Diaries.
yes. Yes, oh my God! Yeah, that's what it should have been called. But anyway, we're just going to give you a brief recap of what happened in case you forget or in case you're confused, which I wouldn't follow you for being at all. In this episode, we learn that Stefan has been released from his watery prison by none other than Ketsia, or Tessa, as she tries and fails to style herself, who is back from purgatory to kill Silas and drop some big revelations on us, which you may or may not have seen coming. Basically, back in ancient Greece, because everything starts in ancient Greece, Silas tricked Ketsia into thinking they were in love so he could get her to make an immortality spell for himself and his real true love, her handmaiden, Amara. Brackets, insert Buffy reference here, Gem of Amara. And yes, you guessed it, that chick was the original Petrova doppelganger, who wasn't original at all. To counteract this nature-defying act, Destiny itself then created mortal shadow cells for both the immortal beings who, throughout history, have found each other once upon a time style. Who wrote this crap, Selena? And of course, now it seems like Elena and Stefan are destined to repeat the pattern. Meanwhile, side note, Nadia has apparently placed the soul of her random dead love interest, whose name I cannot remember, into Matt and has also kidnapped Catherine for her own agenda. Dot dot dot. Both Silas and Ketsia are also trying to get her, though, because her blood is now the cure. Oh, and also Stefan has amnesia. Is that it? Did I leave anything out of my wonderful little recap there?
I don't think so. I think you got pretty much
everything. I think I covered it all. Holy crap. I mean, where to begin, right? I mean, it's just one gem of Amara after another. I'm sorry, I have to explain that to all the non-Buffy fans in the audience. I'm back with a vengeance, and why not do a little Buffy reference here? The Gem of Amara was the original Daylight Ring. There was only one of them on Buffy, and I just think that's funny, because, come on. So anyway, moving on to my discussion points here. Let's start at the very beginning. Let's go back to ancient Greece, where Silas and Amara and Ketsia were hanging out and creating this whole shadow self mythology. What did you guys think when you found out? Were you surprised? Were you excited?
I'm honestly just trying not to think about it. Like, I don't want to think about it at all.
Why?
Just, oh my god, because this whole doppelganger thing is so confusing all the time. And it just hurts my head. It's like going back to, like, the sire thing. Like, I just don't want to think about it, because I'll never understand it.
I forgot that.
Yeah. I don't know. My thing is, if they're destined to kind of find each other throughout history, then each one should have a pairing. And the thing that confuses me is whether Stefan is actually, like, Catherine's, or whether Catherine had one and there's a doppelganger that is not Elena for Stefan because he was born 100 years ago. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah,
no,
that
it doesn't make sense, which is why we don't think about it.
No, it totally does make sense, because I actually have a similar question here on my doc is, you know, Tatya, she was torn between two brothers, but neither of them was a Silas clone. And so was there also a Stefan running around at this time? And does this explain Klaus's bond with Stefan, that he actually had another Stefan that he conveniently forgot about? Like, how does it work? Because, yeah, they're supposed to be human, and they're supposed to meet and fall in love. So Stefan and Elena are not contemporary. And does Elena have a contemporary Stefan?
Right, that's my thing.
Yeah.
Is there a Stefan born in this generation, or because Stefan never died, there never was another one?
Yeah,
like, is he the last one?
Here's another question for Julie and company. The Petrova doppelgangers are all the same bloodline, but I don't assume that the Stefan doppelgangers are the same bloodline. So how does that work? Why? Why is one blood and one isn't blood?
Well, like, and when I originally thought about the shadow selves, I assumed that they didn't necessarily have to be blood. Just, I assumed that throughout history, mm-hmm. like, when it had been long enough for whatever nature, whatever the spirits, whoever's in charge of all of this, like,
destiny
would just,
capital D,
like, force the person to look like Stefan when it was time for a new shadow self to be born.
Yeah, but then why are the Petrova doppelgangers?
Well, right, exactly. Like,
well,
that's
it might
kind
be
of...
the... Sorry. I was just going to say, it might be just be that they create the original shadow person doppelganger, whatever, and then from there starts the bloodline.
Yeah.
So, like, Tatya was, like, the first shadow self, and then she created the bloodline. We don't know Stefan... We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but then that seems a little random. Also, it seems a little risky that because of the
Can you guys hear my kid downstairs?
A little bit. Not
yeah,
really.
What the hell is he doing?
I don't know.
It sounds like he's banging something.
But, no, I was just going to say, like, if this whole destiny thing, that shadow selves are created as, like, a punishment or a way to...
A balance?
Yeah, balance. The fact that... I mean, the Petrova bloodline that was tied to the whole Moonstone... It's not right now. But that could only happen if there was another Petrova bloodline, and it almost died out at one point if Catherine hadn't had her child. I mean, that seems a little risky. Like, if it couldn't have been, there could never have been another doppelganger from that if there hadn't been a bloodline, or if it's both blood and non-blood. Like, I don't even know. And can we just, okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to be like this. I just came back and I'm like slating everything. But, I mean, how random of a coincidence is it that Esther used the shadow self to create the Moonstone curse? Like, out of everybody. Maybe it's just destiny.
Well, see, again, that would mean that there has to have been a Stefan. I'm just using that to describe that
face.
There has to have been a Stefan for Katarina.
Yes.
Because I would assume.
And for Tatya.
Well, because I would assume that. That would, I could see her being something that she would draw on, because she drew on her because she was a doppelganger and because her blood would pop up again.
No, like, she drew on her because she was Klaus and Elijah's love interest.
Well, but she also used her because she knew that there would be another one of her, AKA Elena, and that Klaus wouldn't be able to break it.
Right, so you're saying that Esther, because she was a witch, she didn't choose Tatya because, like, she didn't use Tatya's blood, and then because of that reason, I don't know, I just feel like there's a bit of retconning going on here, and that's why I'm kind of going around in a circle about it, because,
well,
I mean, we were led to believe that the original vampires, A, were original, and B, you know, that Tatya was the original, and then the doppelgangers, Catherine and Elena, like that bloodline, the doppelgangers existed because of Klaus, but now they exist because of Silas. And I just feel, as an audience, I mean, I really like the plot twist, but I just feel a little bit cheated, because it's like, what, next season there's going to be like in the Stone Age, there was an even older vampire, and an even older original.
They explained it by having Silas say that he's not a vampire. That vampires are like a perversion of him.
Yeah, yeah.
I get what you're saying. Like, technically, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I do want to say, I think that the storyline is really interesting. I really like the idea that Stefan and Elena, just in case of making the love triangle slightly less generic, that Stefan and Elena are quote-unquote destined to find each other, and Damon is the it's almost like out. It becomes a question for Elena of destiny versus quote-unquote free will, and obviously it's not free will, but, you know, she could free will choose Stefan. But for me, it becomes like it's kind of like someone in the comments on hyperbole.com sort of likened it to imprinting on Twilight, where you can either, you just imprint on someone, you find that destined true love, or you actually, you know, you make a conscious choice to love someone else, you know, which is what Elena has currently done. And I think that's really cool. It's a really interesting twist.
If they're destined to be together, aren't they also kind of destined to be each other's downfall? Because there's no way that they can actually be together, and they just keep repeating the process?
Yeah, I mean, exactly, because that's what the tragedy is, I guess, is that they're mortal and they're meant to fall in love. And but then I guess they, in Ketchia's words, they kind of had their happy ending, each version, and she had to suffer through watching that. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, in my head, I'm still trying to decide whether Catherine or Elena
is Stefan's
is meant
true
to
love.
Be Stefan's true love. Yeah,
right. I think Catherine is Stefan's.
Well, see, that's what I thought too. But he, even in the, like, in this, while they seem to have retconned some things still seem to work. Like, in the pilot, he says he was drawn to her, that he had to know her. He didn't know why, but he had to be there. And this kind of explains why he felt drawn to Elena in the first place.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, if he's drawn to her, then she's got to be his match. But he met Catherine first. Catherine should have been his
match.
You know, his match.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because if they were the first versions of each other that they met, then they should. Or maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's either. Maybe there's never been another vampire version of Silas.
Right. So that's my thing, is that it could be either of them. Has thrown a giant monkey wrench into the situation.
And this is why I hope that Catherine sticks around, because I think that down the line, I mean, the Elena choice between Stefan and Damon, between Destiny and what she currently sees as being, I mean, she has in the past, Stefan was her choice, but right now Damon is her choice. So let's say between Destiny and choice, that's interesting. But it's also so interesting from Stefan's perspective that he actually has two very, very, very different versions of his Destiny. And with all the retconning that is happening in the Vampire Diaries right now, they could totally do a lot of development with Catherine now that she's human, and probably a bit more emotion, which is, I'm sure, not only my theory, but that's going to come into her life soon, that they could make her really interesting now that Stefan... We'll get to that. Now that he has lost his memory, maybe he will be able to develop a bond with now human Catherine, and then it's going to be a case of who is he meant to be with. And this is maybe something they could explore later this season or next season. I would really love to see something like that. And this
don't
is
you think
I like
it's interesting that oh my god, what's her name? Oh yeah, Kezia sent the dreams, thoughts, whatever of Stefan to Catherine specifically,
and to Elena, to both. Yeah,
she sent it. Yeah. She sent it to both of them. But when Damon showed up without either of them, she was like, "Where's Catherine?" Expecting she wasn't surprised that Elena wasn't there, but she was shocked that Catherine wasn't there. And Catherine seemed to have more of a like sense, I guess, that something was wrong with Stefan, whereas Elena was kind of just like brushing it off.
Yeah, definitely.
That might not have been her fault, because people around her were saying it was crazy, but...
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's very interesting, and I really
It could be that Stefan hasn't... Maybe Stefan doesn't have to make the choice, but maybe one of them will make the choice of which one he... Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Like, maybe there is... Maybe it is, if we're talking about destiny here, maybe his destiny is Catherine, whether he likes it or not, kind of thing. And
what I'm saying is that maybe the universe or destiny will be satisfied if he just gets one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Not necessarily it's one or the other that he's destined for.
Okay,
that it has
I get
to be.
That.
Yeah,
I get that. So like, yeah, if he gets one, the other one is not linked to him. Yeah, but then there must be another one for her.
Well, I think that maybe whichever one he chose, then maybe that would cause a ripple effect of another one coming along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I really
there
hope,
might not be a Stefan
I really
yet,
hope
but...
there's going to be, like, another Stefan at
some point. Just, like, pop
so
up.
Yeah.
I saw a piece of fan art that was, like, season 10 of The Vampire Diaries, and it had, like, 12 Stefans and 12 Elenas and, like, 3 Damons, and I was like, what is going on?
Wow. I wanted to ask you guys, on a somewhat related note, I mean, what... Kezia obviously made her grand entrance this time, and I have to say that her speeches were a little too exposition-y for me. I think they try really hard to make sure that the audience understands what is happening. And of course, it's a really complicated plot, so I'm happy they do this, but it was a little on the nose for me. But I actually think she's really cool. I really like this character. I think she's interesting. I like the way that she speaks, and I like her sort of matter-of-factness. What do you guys
think?
And her
attitude is great.
It's going to take me a while to get used to her, because her character just died last season on True Blood.
Oh.
Spoiler alert. Oh, no. So she's still, like, to me, is this other character, and the personalities are very similar in that, like, they're both, like, untrusting of men, and were, like, scorned by a past love, and so it's, like, the same thing, and there was a supernatural character too. It was a little bit different. She was a shapeshifter. I almost said werewolf, but she was a shapeshifter in True Blood, and now she's a witch. So it's like,
yeah, a little confusing. But I like her.
I definitely like her better here, though. I like Kezia's kind of attitude and like Yeah, her frankness, her matter-of-factness, like, well, I'm just going to tell you like it is, because I've been alive for a long time, and then I died, and now I'm back, and I'm just going to... Like, I do like her. I hope that that continues. Like, I really hope she kind of stays that way.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I like that we actually have, like, a strong witch character.
Yes.
And I like how she kind of made fun of Bonnie, too. She was like, that Bennett witch. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay.
I know. But no, I think it's interesting. I mean, I think she's weird, and I think she's, I still don't really get her motive. I think it's a little bit weird, but in terms of the acting, in terms of the character, I think she's really nicely done. I enjoy watching her.
Here's my question. If these witches keep feeling so, like, guilty and responsible for making vampires, why do they keep doing it?
That's a really good question. I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah, I have no idea.
No. Oh, and I was going to ask as well, you know how they make the shadow selves of the people here? And I know that, obviously, the shadow selves have individual personalities, but they are ultimately different versions of the same person. I have to wonder... I mean, I don't know, maybe that's not 100% true, but that's what I understood it to be. Because I have to wonder, the original Silas, I mean... I know that Ketsia is crazy, but he totally screwed her over. What a jerk. Like, Stefan would never do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
not a fan of Silas, man. He was a jerk back then. He's a jerk now. He's just a giant...
Such a douchebag. And, like, the original Elena, Amara, we saw her for, like, a second, but she seemed nice enough. You know, she could be the original version of Elena. I get that. But
I don't know. I could see Stefan and Silas being connected because Silas's, like, original sin, he just screwed over his lover, right? Like, he just, like, took a spell and left her at the altar. But if you think about it, Stefan's first sin was, like, forcing his brother to become a vampire, which is arguably worse.
Yeah. That's true. That is true. That's a good point. Good point, Sonia.
And when Stefan is a ripper, he's like, which is another version of himself.
Yeah.
So you don't really want to say it's Stefan, but yeah, it's Stefan, and he's like a total. He's not good, obviously.
Yeah. No. Good point. Yeah.
Although he seems to have better control over it this time around.
Yeah, because he didn't turn off his humanity.
Yeah. Speaking of Stefan, let's talk about the elephant in the room that we forgot was there. Ha ha ha! Stefan, as if it wasn't bad enough, Stefan lost his freaking memory because that just wasn't soapy enough. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, I kind of wondered if this was coming when she said, "I just burned through his conscious." Like,
yeah, mind, yeah.
State
yeah.
or conscious mind, he'll be back. I was like, yeah, but is Stefan coming back or is it just going to be like this person coming back? Like, do we know what's going on? Yeah, this is. I know why they're doing it, but it definitely seems a little convenient.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that we would see. Elena get to go back to college, but clearly that's not going to happen now.
I'm sure she will go back to college eventually, but like next week she's like going to be in Mystic Falls, and then the week after it's the Halloween thing in Mystic Falls. But then I think she will eventually, and there's still Caroline.
But yeah, you're right, Caroline, that was very great fast. Over there by herself. We got like one episode she was at college
with Jesse and whatever. That wasn't in this episode anyway. But yeah, no, I was seven amnesia. I see, especially if they use it to get him closer to Catherine, that could be interesting. But I'm just like, no, not really. We already had like the magical pregnancy, you know. But yeah. That's all I had to say on that. I have a few more things from this episode before we can move on to the originals. One was a question: what does Nadia want with Catherine? And I want to know if you guys drew the same obvious conclusion as I did. What do you think?
Well, do you mean
like, you know, she has her own secret agenda with Catherine?
Oh yeah, no, I have no idea. Okay. I just assumed she wanted her because Silas wanted her, and, you know,
no,
as long as
You know what I think, and I don't know if you guys, but Nadia is a vampire, and Nadia is a vampire with an accent from the right part of the world. So do you maybe think that she is Catherine's daughter?
No.
No, you don't? I'm convinced that
this
is
true. That could
true.
Be.
Because, you know, they look so much alike.
No.
Yes.
No.
It could be.
Come on, this is the Vampire Diaries. We have amnesia.
No.
Yes, I'm gonna say she is. She's totally. I'm calling it right now.
I'm
Nadia,
sure it's
she's a
like she needs
traveler.
to. No.
Yes. you know, maybe not, maybe not. But I think, you know, I saw them together. I thought throughout the episode, Nadia looked so much like Elena and Catherine. Like, it made me confused.
They seem to not look anything
she's
like
a
that.
vampire. You have no idea how old she is. She wants Catherine for her own sentimental reasons.
I
Yeah,
don't think
sort of
she
her
would
daughter.
like. Okay, so if Catherine is her mom, then
Yes.
Elena is like her like niece or something, and she just snaps
Yes.
her neck.
Yeah, but she didn't kill her.
Yeah, but she snapped her neck and
Yeah,
was
but she's
like,
a vampire. She'll wake up. Right.
okay, but she still snapped her neck.
Yes. What's your point? This is the Vampire Diaries.
It's a very violent family.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's just like if that is seriously the reason, we're gonna stop watching the show.
Really?
That's
No.
retarded. That's like that too many plot lines, too much is going on, too much baby drama.
If I at any point, you know, I would have stopped watching a long time ago if that was the reason. There's been much. No, I think this is what's gonna happen. We'll have to see. I have to keep a tally on that one. The listener should write in and say if you agree or not with that theory, and tell Sonia not to stop watching. Because come on, they have amnesia. Let's get it. This is the Vampire Diaries. Come on, let's just go with it.
Did you just say tell Sonya to stop
No,
watching?
tell her to not stop watching. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Convince her to keep going. Keep sticking it out until, you know, there's a, I don't know, someone there's a secret child of Stefan appears and Damon has a I don't know. Anyway, I skipped this question and go to the last one. Can someone please quickly explain to me, because I'm stupid, what is a traveler?
I don't think we know yet,
Okay.
is my answer, because
Well, a traveler
as far
is a person that
someone who
goes to
goes
another
other
place.
places.
Because as far as we know, all we've seen from the quote unquote travelers is that they can travel into other people's bodies, like through their minds somehow.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause her dead buddy, you know, best
Love
friend, lover,
guy.
guy, whatever, is now in Matt's head slash body, so I have no idea what they technically are, but they can apparently like body swap.
Right.
There's some kind of
Super
witch
fun.
that can turn into a vampire and live past death, and I don't
And they
know.
also existed in ancient Greece.
Yeah.
And Silas does not like them. Okay.
Is Kezia supposed to be the first witch?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because remember that Esther was the original witch.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah,
Except she
but she
wasn't.
said, but Kezia is Bonnie's relative, right? Am I remembering that
I believe
correctly? Am I
so.
making that
I
up?
have no idea. I thought
I believe
Esther
so.
was Bonnie's relative.
I thought that they were related, and that's why Bonnie couldn't
No,
get Silas
no,
out of
no. I think Bonnie is related to her, to Esther's friend, like the other lady.
what?
Do you remember the other witch lady that Rebecca saw with the thing in the window?
Oh,
I forget her name. I think Bonnie's line is from her, not from
Oh,
Esther.
well, I'm just gonna give
So
up trying to figure out
Kezia
who's
could very well.
related.
Yeah, because Kezia could is very. I think she is of Bonnie's line. I think she's just like the beginning of it, like towards the beginning. Who knows?
I don't know.
I would prove, yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
I'm
So
just
either
wondering.
that's
I'm just
lost.
trying to. I'm wondering if the travelers are supposed to be like the first supernaturals, and then like from them, all the other supernaturals came.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering, because we're seeing vampires,
Sure.
witches. I don't know. I don't
I don't
really
know
care.
either.
This
Maybe they're
was
like vampire slayers. I don't know. But anyway, that is all that we had for this episode of The Vampire Diaries. Next week's episode is called For Whom the Bell Tolls. And the
Wait,
promo...
can I just want to make one last point here,
of
Selena?
Of course, go for it.
I did not miss Jeremy or Bonnie at all this episode.
I didn't even realize that they weren't in this episode until you just said it.
Or Caroline.
Or
Caroline.
Or Tyler.
Or Tyler.
Oh, well, Tyler.
Anyway, that was just MIA.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like that. I do like Jeremy. I'm glad he's back. But you're right. They weren't missed at all. This is really interesting. They should just have, like, you know, as you say, 12 versions of Stefan and Elena and Damon running around interacting with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. But next week, I think we're going to go back to them in For Whom the Bell Tolls. And the promo actually shows a hint of a Stefan Elena kiss, which should be interesting. We'll have to wait and see on that one. So, are we ready to move on to the originals?
Sure.
Dot.
It's like waiting for a response.
Sure, why not?
So, I remember the good old days, me eating during podcasting. Yeah.
All right, so we're just going to dive right into discussing the originals, because a lot kind of happened in this episode. There's a lot to talk about, plus it's new, so there's still backstory and things we need to get into. So the episode starts with Haley, and she's reading Elijah's old diaries. And my question is, was she trying to learn more about the original family, or does she have a thing for Elijah and was trying
she
to find out more about
him? She has a
thing
for Elijah. And yeah? This is a ship I'm totally on board with, because... That's adorable, so yeah, she totally does.
Yeah, normally I would think this is creepy, but I'm totally on board too.
Good. Me too. Yeah, absolutely. They are the best, those two. And we haven't even really seen them together, but they just are. But and can I just say, by the way, before we start, that the originals is you cannot imagine how like annoyed I am with them that they're all like the first episodes are like la la la, this is the Elijah show, amazing. And then they dagger him and then we like don't see him at all, and it's pissing me off. So,
bring well, back you Elijah. Know why that is, that right?
Comes. Why?
It's because of cool. Dan Gilley's other show. You know that shooting schedules made them do this, it's unfortunate, but the good news is that I'm sure we get a lot more Elijah coming up, because I know that they got. The schedule's figured out shortly into filming.
It's true, and I'm glad because. But that's the thing, for new audiences, though, it's really confusing that you introduced him as a main character in the first episode, and then now it's the Klaus show. And I'm sorry, we'll get into this, but I am not enjoying Klaus being the lead on the show at all, because he's just not sympathetic enough.
Me neither. Oh my god, normally I love Klaus, but I'm like. I can only take so many snarky looks.
Yeah, exactly. And all of that, like, oh, then he's, like, almost crying. And then in the next episode, he's, like, violently killing somebody. But, oh, it's okay because he's almost crying about it. Oh, but then he's, like, killing off these really nice, like, witches and vampires that I totally loved. Like, I was on their side. And I, anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, carry on.
No, that's okay. I'm just going to throw this out there then. Okay. I haven't had too many problems with Klaus, but it's because I just assume he's going to be Klaus and be the Klaus we know and hate to love and whatever. But which person would you be siding with more often? Marcel, Klaus, the Elijah Rebecca train? Like, who do you think is the, like, heart of this show now?
I side with Haley and Baby.
Haley and the Baby. Yeah, absolutely. They are the...
Well, that would be, like, Team Elijah, because she's kind of on board with Elijah, too, then.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to be Team any boy.
Boys are stupid. No, but I think, actually, Yasanya's right. Haley is probably the most sympathetic out of all of them right now. But even Rebecca, even though that whole love thing is kind of confusing, when you have a show, you have to have the main character be someone who... you can ultimately get on board with, and you have to be able to understand what is in their heads. And the fact that Klaus switches on a dime all the time and is not sympathetic and is making all the wrong choices, like with the Thierry and whatever her name was, like they were Katie. The ones, Katie, Thierry and Katie, they in this episode, they were the ones that I was siding with as an audience member. They were the ones that I was rooting for. And then they were the ones who ultimately paid a really pointless price. And that means that I'm left not liking Klaus, not liking Marcel, you know, not liking Sophie because she was willing to just sacrifice Katie for, in my opinion, no good reason. And it's just, that's fine, but there's so much you can take of that before you just get too pissed off. And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but it really made me angry.
No, I can totally see your point of view. Like, Klaus is not at all sympathetic, and he's not ever meant to be, so it's weird that
it means
now...
you don't side with him, you don't want him to win, you know?
Yeah. Lately, and this sounds ridiculous, lately I've been seeing things from Marcel's point of view without too much of a problem. Like, yeah, he can be kind of violent and a little bit, you know, sadistic here and there, but ultimately he's been running New Orleans for a very long time, and Klaus just... Mm-hmm. Right, and Klaus just walks in and says, I want it back. Yeah. And it's like,
Klaus doesn't have a good enough reason. Marcel, I agree with you. I mean, I think this thing today with him, like, putting vampires to rot in the basement is a bit sick. But in a way, the fact that he was willing to, like, be like, oh, yeah, of course he can have a romance with this witch as long as it doesn't, like, interfere with his other plans. Like, I'm cool with that. Marcel, I know that, Sonia, you're not a... Or it's... Kyle doesn't like Marcel at all, but... I think, ultimately, Marcel is one of the
I don't
more,
like him either.
Well, I think he's... I mean, on the scale, he's one of the more sympathetic people. He's doing the best that he can. And also, when you got his backstory last episode, with the fact that he was a boy and he was, you know, turned into a vampire and sort of tried to live up to Klaus and all of that, I think he's the one... at this point, who I want to win. And I know, I get the idea that it's interesting to tell a story from the point of view of the villain, but there's a reason that that isn't done very much, because as an audience member, like, you don't want him to... Like, Marcel is doing things right, you know? It's weird, it's hard to explain, but...
Well, it's hard because Marcel and Haley are on opposite sides, and you want to cheer for both of them because Haley is just trying to do what's right by herself and this baby, and Marcel is trying to do what's right by himself and all of his, you know, vampire subjects, I guess, would you say. So that's what I think where the heart of this show is right now, is that you've got, you know, pregnant girl on this side and Marcel, who's just trying to protect himself and his world, on the other. And both have valid reasons for their, you know, valid motivations. But then you've got Klaus in the middle just mucking everything up.
Yeah.
I just don't like Well, here's my issue. I clearly should not watch any shows that have actors from other shows, because I still think of him from, like, Grey's Anatomy, and I didn't like him then. His character was mean.
Yeah,
and
his character's
then
kind of
I just...
Jerk.
Yeah, I don't like anyone that's mean to pregnant people either, so there you go.
All right. Well, I'm sure getting more and more from Marcel and all of that, I doubt Klaus will ever become more sympathetic, but we'll get more from the others and, you know, pick a side at some point.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I just want Eliza to come back.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. Speaking of the plan to get Eliza back, Haley, I loved this scene just because plan A to get Eliza back was ask Marcel, like, just ask him, see if he'll do it, and B was war. Wow.
Yeah.
Great options. Mm-hmm. Like, what the heck? But, you know, it kind of set it up. We now know, you know, plan A was Klaus is going to jump in and just ask him. Plan B is a lot more complicated because Klaus is complicated. How about Rebecca in this episode? She's kind of... The original, she's changed a little bit. She's a lot less whiny than she's been on Vampire Diaries. What do you guys think? What about Rebecca?
I like Rebecca. I think she's, I think she's a good character, again, as well, because she balances, she sort of is the voice of reason a lot of the time, like, especially at the end of the episode where she actually called Klaus out on this, like, complete bull that he did, which was, you know, again, you need someone to voice this, because otherwise the originals would be completely unwatchable if you didn't have someone be the voice of reason like that. But I think she's in the show, I think the writers have a hard time defining what she's actually going to be, because you have Elijah on the good side, and you have Klaus on the bad side, you have Marcel somewhere in the middle, you have Haley be, like, the innocent one. So what is Rebecca going to be? Is she going to be naive and sort of stuck in love as she is a little bit? Is she going to be sort of on Elisha's side? I mean, she doesn't really... I mean, we're only three episodes in, but I think a lot of the time I really like her, but I still think she's a bit muddled.
Yeah, and then she goes from being really, like, open-hearted and kind to the, you know, bitchy, snarky Rebecca we all know and love.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, like, bipolar almost. Like, she has two specific personalities, and it's just, which one are you going to get?
Yeah, which of course is a way of being a character, but it doesn't, you don't really know. That's the same with Klaus, really. You have no idea in the scene what Klaus is going to be, if he's going to be like, I'm good, really, and I'm going to almost cry, or if he's just going to be like cold-hearted, killing off poor, innocent witch girl just for no reason.
Yeah. In this episode, we had Katie and Thierry, who are very much background players, but they had this love thing going on. And
it was so beautiful.
Like, I don't know. I understand why we had all of it, but I really thought Thierry was going to be around for a while. Like, they had kept showing him and setting him up the last couple episodes, and now he's bricked over in the basement.
I know. Like, bye. At least he didn't die. You know, he can come back eventually. And he's so cute.
I also really like that Marcel's ultimate punishment isn't just death for everything. Because in vampire stories, it's usually just death.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to kill you now. I like that he's got another option. I mean, it's unfortunate. It's kind of sadistic and gross. But, I mean, at least he doesn't just have to kill everybody who does something wrong to him.
Yeah. Again, making him more sympathetic, even though I still think it's terrible, that punishment thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah, for sure. So, Klaus, Rebecca, and Sophie kind of let us all in on their plan that they're going to use Katie doing a giant spell to try and protect Thierry to hide Sophie doing a locator spell to find Elijah's body. I'm all about finding Elijah, but it just seems really easy for Sophie to sacrifice one of her friends. Like, what do you guys think?
That just really pissed me off with this episode. It's like, everybody's making the wrong choices, and we don't get a very good reasons for it. Like, Sophie, I totally lost a lot of respect for her in this episode, too, because it made no sense for her to do this.
Yeah, and I haven't had any problems with Sophie's motivation, with, like, trying to save the witches and trying to get them free so that they can, you know, practice and all that. I've been very behind them. But this episode, she just, she seemed way too eager to, you know, to find Elijah and join on Klaus's plan and just sacrifice one of her friends. Like, it just seems way too easy for her to do.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. That's the thing. A lot of the characters so far are just not clear enough. And I think that's sort of a common theme. I mean, you don't know what to feel about them.
Yeah, speaking of not knowing how to feel, Cammy. Poor Cammy. She's basically in a vampire, like, tug of war between Klaus and Marcel, because Marcel likes her and Klaus obviously likes her, and yet Klaus is using her when he feels like it's going
to
work.
Yeah,
like,
because Klaus just doesn't, you know, that he will just, that's why another reason it's so hard to, you know, side with him. But I don't know, what do you think actually about the fact that Klaus likes Cammy? Because in theory, I kind of liked it, that he unexpectedly had an attraction to her, but on the other hand, I'm like, Caroline?
Yeah, that's my thing. I don't believe the Cammy thing because I know Caroline is still around, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for me to think he actually really likes Cammy.
Yeah. Oh, maybe, I mean, Cammy is just a stand-in for both of these guys. I mean, for Marcel, it's for Rebecca, and for Klaus, it's for Caroline, because they all look the same.
Do you think Cammy has, like, a greater purpose to the series, or is she basically the Matt of the originals?
Yeah.
Where she's there to kind of remind us about the human element and remind us that, you know, they exist and be protected by, you know, both these groups, and
that's basically her spot.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Because I like her. I mean, I like that she's not, she's a little snarky too. Like, she's not afraid to, you know, tell Klaus and Marcel what she thinks. But yeah, she's a little defenseless, and that's going to be interesting. Moving on, we have Theory kills a vampire in order to protect Katie. And that is Marcel's biggest no-no, is killing other vamps. I'm glad that in this incarnation, it's not just a, you know, punishment by death thing, but does this whole Marcel's biggest rule thing make sense? What did you guys think about it? Anything specific?
I think what didn't make sense was that they could predict that he would do that.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, in that situation, he bit that girl. Why didn't he just throw him off and leave him there? Like, you know, it was very, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just like, whatever, like being over the critical over here. But
No, I know what you mean. Like, if that's his biggest role, why would his buddy just kill this dude? Like, why would he go that far?
Yeah. But it's true. I mean, that's I agree in terms of what you were saying. I think that Marcel, I think Marcel ultimately, it's kind of sympathetic. You know, he does see them all as one big happy family, and he does get kind of extreme about his rules. But we already knew that. You know, like, he allows the witches to be there, but the minute they break the rules, it's public execution. It's kind of extreme, but I think just because we can't help but compare him to Klaus, he's like the lesser of two evils. You know, he's the dictator that is actually nice to his people. So we like him, but we don't actually like the fact that he's a dictator.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's basically exactly what I was thinking. Like, yeah. Well, meanwhile, with all of this lovely vampire business going on, Haley is back at the original mansion. Sure, we'll call it that. and she's attracting wolves.
Yeah.
Anybody?
That was interesting.
I had no idea what this was really about. Like,
I think it was a werewolf, not a regular wolf.
Well, then why did I thought it was a wolf?
I thought it was a werewolf because it, like, its eyes were glowing, so I was like, oh. I don't know.
I figured this was just a way to get Haley in the episode. They were like, we have to have something going on with her, we have to see her, check in on her, and it just seemed really random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just, I mean, it was random, but I kind of liked it. I thought it was nice. It gives Haley a little
although,
bit of,
if it is a wolf, they say that animals can sense pregnancy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My animals just ignore me, so I don't know.
I thought that was just dolphins. Anyway,
no,
that's
it's well, they say it's more cats than, I've heard it's more cats than dogs, but I have heard some people say that their dogs can tell. Hmm.
Maybe
like they'll just follow you around.
Crazy. But yeah, well, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. My pets just want food for me, and they don't.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not your personal experience in this podcast. That's good.
it's not anything exciting.
But can we talk about, because we don't have that much time left now, but can we talk about, like, Haley's the baby thing?
Sure.
Okay. Can you be more specific?
The gender?
No, the thing. Yeah, the gender and that thing with the charm at the end and those words. Because I want to hear what you guys think.
I didn't see that part. You have to explain it to me.
Okay, so basically, the witch lady. What's her name?
Sophie? Or
no, the other one.
Her friend.
Yeah, her friend.
I can't remember her name, but yeah.
Let's call her Francesca. That's not her name. But she went to the house and she was all like, oh, hi, Sophie asked me to keep an eye on you. And then she's like, I can tell the sex of your baby. And then she does, and it's a girl, which was really exciting because it would have been, I was actually thinking about this the other day, and it would have been so easy to make it a boy because, you know, little Klaus, la la la, original brothers, everything. So I like the fact that it's a girl because that makes it more interesting for Klaus, I think. And then she also, like, she kind of went into this trance, the witch, and she started saying these weird words, and Haley was, like, trying to look them up and looking in all different languages. She couldn't find it, what it meant. And I don't know if it's, because I didn't note down what the words were. I don't know if it's Latin or ancient Greek or whatever, if there's actually a translation.
It sounded like Latin.
It sounded like Latin to me, but then everything sounds like Latin on TV shows. but now, so clearly something is going on with this baby. Like, you know, it's part werewolf, it's part vampire, it's probably part human. So that in itself is weird. But what do you guys think? What is it? Is there going to be some prophecy? Is it another Stefan / Elena clone?
Maybe it's a traveler.
That would be weird.
Boom!
It's a demon. It's just completely human. And
yes.
Has no powers.
Wouldn't
that be interesting? And then Klaus just has to love it.
Yeah. Like, if it's just born human. Like, what? Well, I mean, if it is a werewolf, it will be born human until it kills.
Well, it's probably going to be something new. I mean, it's probably not just going to be a hybrid. It probably is going to be human. Maybe it's going to be human, but have, like, all of the strengths and abilities of vampires and werewolves. It's going to be a vampire slayer, you guys. It's going to be Buffy.
I was going to say, that sounds like a hunter. I'm very on the fence. I don't know if we're supposed to have a theory about what this baby is or is going to do. I hope that we see this child at some point here. Like, I hope we don't play the, something went wrong, she lost the baby, it's gone thing. Do you guys think that's
absolutely
a possibility?
No, I don't. Not at this. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, just last week she was thinking about, you know, baby vampire abortion, so.
Yeah.
Sounds ridiculous.
I don't know. I think the baby is going to end up being born. It has to be, because that's kind of the whole point of. That's the only thing that could. I think that's the point they're trying to make with Klaus. The only thing that could ever actually turn him from his evil ways, if he has any hope of redemption, it's this baby. And I think the minute that they get rid of this baby, however they could, is the minute that they lose Klaus, like, as a character. They just lose him. And there's just, at this point it would be like, why are we even watching it if there's no hope for him at all? And I think this baby is his hope. You're my only hope. It's Luke Skywalker.
Obi-Wan.
It's twins.
Oh, God. While we've in our last few minutes here, I want to see what you guys think of Divina. We got a little bit of her in this episode. We saw her ability, like with the whole drawing faces thing. What do you guys think about her and Marcel and that whole thing?
It's interesting. I'm intrigued by Divina. Because, you know, Sophie knows who she is, and she seems to, like, love Marcel, but it's not a romantic love. It's
which I like.
Yeah, I like it too, but I wonder why. I mean, if he has compelled her, or why does she have this attachment to him?
I think that's ultimately the question, is why is she so loyal to Marcel? Like, what about him has instilled this loyalty from her? And it certainly seems that we're going to get a bit of that next episode, as she kind of gets let out of the attic a little bit, and is going to be, you know, out and about and meeting some of these characters that, you know, otherwise she wouldn't have a chance to meet. So I am very much looking forward to seeing her, as I really like Divina. I like what she brings to the table. I'm still interested to find out if she is indeed a witch or if she's some sort of other being.
Yeah.
Because she
is the future version of Haley's baby.
Ta-da!
Gone back in time.
Because the doctor shows up. Yes.
Yes.
That's all you need.
But I think maybe she's really powerful because she's somehow absorbing the magic of the other witches.
Yeah. That could be.
That makes sense to me anyway. By the way, this is random, but I just looked up the Nos Omina Perdetu Elai Iam, and in Latin it means we all lose it, el something. So maybe this baby is prophesized to kill them all.
or drive them all crazy.
We all lose it. Gotta lose it, guys. Maybe they're all gonna have amnesia.
Ta-da! We'll just start over. No. All right. Basically, I mean, I think that pretty much wraps up the episode. Does anybody have anything else they want to talk about before we go?
No. I mean, just that I am really enjoying the show. You know, the purpose of this podcast is kind of to pick it all apart and to discuss it. But I think, aside from the fact that this episode highly pissed me off because I don't know whose side to be on and it annoys me, and I think the characters are still a little fluid, I think the originals has the potential to turn into a really, really good show. Especially if Elijah comes back.
No question about Selena's preference on this show at all. Contact info?
Oh,
I'm really bad at this.
All right, then. Thank you guys so much for listening to this show, and we hope that you enjoyed both discussions, and they were a little bit... We had a lot on our minds, but again, you know, myself and Sonia haven't really been able to voice our thoughts about the season at all, but hopefully we will be back on a more regular basis from here on out. If you want to give your comments, disagree with us, or agree with us, there are several different ways to do that. And as we can see here, one of them is actually by going on hypeable.com, which Laurie has done, who actually had a really interesting comment about the Vampire Diaries love triangle. She says that because of this whole doppelganger destiny thing, she believes that this is actually the best news possible for the Delana pairing. Most of the best stories, she writes, have got the protagonist saying screw destiny in some way. The fact that Selena happens so quickly, the fact that they are meant to be, just means that the brunt of interest is seeing how Elena and or Stefan can fight against that. It being destiny takes the power away from Elena herself, so there is literally no way she can end up with Stefan permanently now. It would just mean that she went along with destiny flow, which makes for a lame story ending. Jasmine has a very different perspective on it. She says, is it bad that I still want Stefan and Elaine together, or at least any version of the story where Stefan gets to be happy? I feel like the last two or three seasons have basically been romantic tension between Elaine and Damon and jealousy between Damon and Stefan because of it. So let's either have Stefan and Elena, Damon and Elena, or Elena with someone else entirely, but can we just commit to something already? Let's stop making undying declarations of love that keep switching whenever bad things go down in Mystic Falls. And also, Stefan deserves to be happy, so let's get that going too, smiley face. So those were just two of the many very, very good comments that we have received on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. So if you want to join the discussion and maybe have your thoughts read on this podcast, head over to that website and leave us some comments. You can also email us at vampirehype@gmail.com and tweet us at vampirehype. So enjoy the next episode of the originals, which is titled Tangled Up in Blue, and the next episode of the Vampire Diaries titled For Whom the Bell Tolls. Is it wrong? Am I wrong?
New Orleans. It's Girl in New Orleans.
Sorry, this episode was Tangled Up in Blue. So yeah. Close. Girl in New Orleans is the next episode of the originals, and the Vampire Diaries is titled For Whom the Bell Tolls. Have a good week, everybody. I'm Selena.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Sonia.
Okay, bye everybody.
Bye.
And we of course want to Hello, welcome Selena. This is your first podcast that you have ever done. You don't know what you're doing.